Yo, welcome back to the Packweight Show. Back here with my legendary co-hosts, John and Frank. What's up, dudes?
What's up, B? What's up, Frank? Herman?
What's up, John?
And our guest today, none other than the OG legend himself, Herman Potgieter, a.k.a. HP, a.k.a. HP Sauce, a.k.a. the Grey Goose, a.k.a. the White Crane, Mr. Alien Toes himself. Blue Crane?
That's new.
It's the Blue Crane.
AKA DJ Finger Blister, the elusive Herman.
It's Mr. Potgieter. Finger Blister. Away.
Welcome, Herman. How are you, bro?
Welcome. Your notes. Chaos.
Wasn't easy to track you down, Herms. You're a hard man to nail down.
Well, you know, it's my job. You know,
to stay
international spy stuff.
Spy by day, spy by night.
There we go.
No, it's a real pleasure to have you, bro. And yeah, for our guests that maybe don't know Herman, I mean, anyone that rollerblades knows Herman, but he was the OG legend in the rollerblading scene. When we first started and we would go to East Rand Mall, Herman was already killing the mini ramp, 360s over the spine, the works, flat spin, yeah. Fast asleep.
My shins were already dented before you guys got there.
The flat spin king.
I already had sore ankles, so you're welcome. And
nursing the wrists.
The wrists. Uh-huh. Oh.
Yeah, the so years of rollerblading, winning competitions, starting out as a vert ramp specialist, and then quickly moving on to becoming one of the most stylish and street skaters, sick amplitude, grinding both ways.
I think the verting came from the mini ramp at Boogaloo's. That was like a go-to type of thing, you know. So it all started there. And then obviously watching Chris Edwards, you know, he was like the ultimate vert guy. And yeah, we all wanted to do like a, what do you call that? Where you can stick your leg out, like, can't even remember rocket. What you call it. Rocket.
There we go.
He was the boss rocket guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But dude, just to go back a little bit, like when, because obviously when we met you, you were already skating when we met you at East Rand Mall. So, who got you into skating? How did you find yourself on rollerblades? How did that come about? Did you go from skateboarding or what's the origin story, Herman?
I did start with skateboarding. Mm. I mean, my parents bought me and my brother one of those special pick and pay boards with plastic brakes and rail slide things. And we'd like bomb hills and that's how it started. Yeah, and then the whole rollerblade thing, I think it was like 92 or 94. Mm. No, it was earlier. 92, yeah, somewhere around there.
92, yeah.
Rollerblades became like a thing, and my buddy had a pair of rollerblades. And when I put them on, I was like, wow.
Where in the world is this? Where are you staying at this point?
That was in Boxburg.
What's life look like? Okay.
I was in Boxburg,
And you're in high school? Or
I think I was about standard for primary school, started four,
okay,
five, somewhere around there. And I started and I tried his skates out, and then what were those skates? Jacaris were like $200, super plastic, worst things in the world. Full on snap. That's my first ankle snapper. I got a pair of those, and I roll around in that, and then kind of figured out, okay, cool, we can go to Boogaloo's with these plastic wheels and go skate on a wooden ramp and really destroy your ankles, because there's no grip with plastic wheels.
Yeah,
you just like kind of. Oh, and another thing that we went ice skating there by the ice rink in Boxburg is like a place to go when you're younger, and you know, it was like to go somewhere. It's very dodge, but
was it at East Rand Mall?
It was just around the corner from East Rand Mall.
Okay.
It was like if you go towards the highway and that main road left.
Mm.
So as kids,
right by
there. Yeah, so we used to go hang out there on Friday nights and go and like ice skate until the rollerblades came along. And you're like, whoa, I don't have to just turn left. I can turn right now.
Because yeah, they'd make you go in one direction.
No, you time. Just go left.
Like,
you go left.
Like NASCARs.
Yeah, and then you get the lacquer. Oh, he's got his like PT shorts on, you know, he's like seasoned ice skater. He hoists backwards. You know, he does those T stops and the ice sprays like that. That was cool. He's like, yo. And then when you try it and your skate hooks in the ice and then you end up doing your first flat spin. It was also cool.
Flat spin on flat.
Yeah. Yeah,
so after the Chikaris, what skates did you get that you were training with on the mini ramp?
Remember, what were they called? Turbines.
Yes.
Remember those skates? Got a pair of turbines. They had, at least they had nice wheels on.
Go fast.
But they had the spokes, remember? The wheels came with the spokes. So you'd break those like instantly, one air, and then it's like, and then you're skate starts going, but they also had that cool air vent at the bottom, you know.
Yes,
to keep that was very cool.
Yeah,
didn't
work at all.
I was gonna say,
yeah, just basically allowed a lot of dust to come into your skate.
Yeah,
it was a cool idea.
That was a cool selling point, but no, yes, no, it didn't work at all.
Gimmick.
And then I think from there, it was straight to Rossi's, I think.
Yeah, you had the Impalas? They were called Vert?
No, there were the ones before that. The Races came out with like a... before the Majestic, we still had the weird plastic...
It was the Street.
Yeah, the Streets. Started with those. And then, yeah, the Impalas and the Majestics came around. Majestic was obviously like... lasted us for how many years we skated on those skates.
Yeah.
We used to backslide them until there was a hole in the boot.
In the boot. Then they're only ready.
Warmed up.
Then you can feel the rail while you're grinding it, like
on your foot.
2 kilometer per hour speed.
And you gotta wash the wax out of your sock.
So who were you skating with initially there, Herm, in the early days?
I think mainly those who were hanging out at the skate park, you know, like there was, I had a lot of skateboarder friends, so I used to just skate with them, you know, they skateboarded, I rollerbladed. Was a bit of a beef with rollerbladers and skateboarders, but it wasn't like that we were skating, we were all school friends, so
yeah, you know, it wasn't a problem. At that age, everyone just wanted to have fun, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I would do both. I would skateboard and rollerblade, but eventually just carry on rollerblading.
Anyway. Oh, I think you had quite a talent for it.
Well,
I just wanted to say, I think back then it was before the whole beef thing started.
Yeah.
It was the skateboarding culture from America, I guess, that kind of insinuated like it's not cool. And some hoes, they've got that tend to be like, oh, yeah, we don't hang with the rollerbladers or whatever. But if you're in the skate park where I grew up, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, people would cheer you on. If you do a cool trick, if it was on skateboards or rollerblades, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then, I met, like, you guys. You guys used to come to Boogaloo's as well. And it was cool to have, like, other people rollerblading, you know, feed off them and stuff. So it's cool.
Yeah, well, when did you first make it out to Kyle Army and that side?
Sure. I remember Kyle Army didn't have anything there. It was basically the vert ramp and that 8-foot ramp and a whole bunch of rails lying around. Mm. And I remember going out for the first time with a dude called Shane Robinson. He had a car. He was a little bit older than us. So he had to drive us. He drove us out to Kyle Army. We skated there. And like, yeah, it was fun. Connect all the rails. Remember that? Every single rail, you connect it to the next one, and then you try to grind the whole thing. So dodgy.
Yo, let's pull up some of these pictures, because I mean the first one here is the 1995 South African what's it called, national competition at Sun City.
Yes.
And here's Herman getting a handshake from Arlo.
Yeah, I made him a burry, and he was super happy with it. I seasoned it. So good job. You should stop rollerblading and just keep on with the brine. That's basically what they're saying.
I think you seasoned that vert ramp as well, and you won first place in the vert competition, right?
Yes, I did. I did. That was a hectic vert. It was like over vert. And actually, when I look at this photo now, the camera that Rene is holding is the camera that we filmed. What's our movie name?
African Link.
That's it. That's the camera. Yes.
No Sick, way. Man. And then I got it from you, I think. I've still got that camera. If it's the same one?
No, I don't think so.
It was a Sony, I think, right?
I made a robot out of it.
Oh, sick. Okay. No, I did get a camera from you. We traded something at some stage, but obviously not that one. That's too old.
It's too old.
But yeah, we missed you on the African Link watch through. You got to join us for the stereotype party.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And so tell us about the vert competition here at Sun City. I mean, how old are you?
I think I was 16
at
that point. And never skated a ramp that big, I don't think. And I remember just Rene killing it, like, full on. And I was just like, couldn't believe Arlo and Rene and Jess. You know, it was probably the first pro skaters we ever met. And we were all young. And I just remember Brent and Mel hooking up that whole competition. And it was so cool. And it felt like a proper, like, this is the nationals, you know. This is where the big dogs roll, you know. Even though those ramps were so, if you look back at it now, they were so dodgy. They were so small and like.
At the time, it was the craziest shit we had ever seen, though. It was such early days.
Yeah, I think it's where everything came together, really. Like that's where all the different crews like met each other and. You know, everyone's like, oh, okay, cool. These are all the other people that's into skating, which is cool.
Mm.
So from there on, I think it just grew, eh? What can you do?
It did. I mean, these early days, it was, as you say, if you started in 92, that's when it started exploding from like California, the US. And so obviously we started getting rollerblades here. And we were all kids, and I mean, it was just so fun to roll around. I remember because I had tried like someone's roller skates, and like that was quite fun. And then once you try roller blades, it was like, yo, this is next level. Like it's so much faster, easier to turn, and just like, yo, we had such a fun time doing it.
I also think that there was a time when they started like making skates for like what we do. It was just normal rollerblades, you know, like with the big ass brake on the back or whatever. So they started making the frames like the Majestic, you know. It was the first. I remember seeing Olo in the Majestic. So I was like, so in awe with his skates, you know. I just wanted these Majestic 12s, you know. They're like gray with this weird frame, like need those, you know. And you look at your little shitty skates, you're like, damn it.
Yeah, I think they had an H block in them. They were like one of the first skates to have an H block, and you didn't.
Yeah.
No, you'd still put on grind plates though. Now that I think.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, that those red.
But they were still better than what had come before because they did have some piece back there that made it easier to sole grind on.
Structural.
But the idea was there to make better skates, you know, for grinding and stuff.
Well, obviously before that, I mean, it had been mostly for roller hockey and stuff and recreational skating. Did you ever play roller hockey, Herm, or skip that?
I dabbled.
No, I think you were very quickly onto the ramps.
That didn't last very long.
That's where the fun was at. And speaking of ramps, where are we here?
This is a Germiston Bowl.
Yes.
It was like a snake run.
So big, and you're quite high out of it. That's epic.
And it's about a 6 foot transition with like 3 foot of vert. So you already started airing like about 2 foot into the vert.
So
to get that high, it doesn't look high, but it's cock high.
No, it's scary.
And it's solid concrete. Like it's still there today. Actually,
It is still there.
People still skating it. Started off in a little snake run that's about a foot high, going all the way into a little snake down into this bowl, which was probably the first vert ramp kind of thing I skated. We went back and we were like, cool. We got our knee pads, we got our elbow pads, and we're just gonna like Chris Edwards it out, you know?
Yeah.
Try and mimic all the tricks from day to air, you know?
Yeah. So was this before the Nationals?
Yes, I think, I still got turbines on there. I think it's the turbines. Yeah.
I wasn't sure putting the photos together, the timeline on some of them, but that makes sense.
It could be after, I'm not sure. This is definitely after, I think. Those are the Impalas. They're on the right.
Yes.
The Soul Ground.
This is Boogaloo's, East Ranmore.
Yeah. That was a mini ramp in the back there that
just dominated.
Yeah. Just loved
owned it.
Owned it.
Yeah, it was so nice.
And also that transition there was pretty cool. I remember that. The
wall to wall. Wall to wall. You were one of the first dudes I saw go from one to the other. Like on roadblades anyway.
Yeah, that was mind blowing at that age.
Super high risk. I mean, at this super sort of high level of skating for us, that was very high risk. I don't even think I ever did it, actually. And that rail that you're grinding was like a double rail, but I remember it sliding very, very well.
Yeah, super low, super dodgy. Shins.
Low rails are so scary.
I think I saw you for the first time at Boogaloo's 2, just like everyone else, obviously. And I still had these plastic skates, but you already were on, I think, Rosie Street or even maybe, I think it was Rosie Street.
Or the streets.
Yeah, it was streets. Mm-hmm. And there was this wet puddle in front of the box and I hit it with my plastic wheels and full on slipped out and aired over the box and landed straight on my hip on the other side.
Oh,
and I had this big ass
hematoma.
Yeah, it was terrible. I couldn't walk for like weeks after that.
Oof.
You didn't do it properly if you didn't have a hematoma.
But I swallowed my little tears running out of my eyes because I wanted to not show my tears in front of you guys.
My pain.
You know? My pain. I walked away, like crippled away there. But I was crying inside.
Yeah. Waited for it to rain so I could cry.
Dude, I remember I knocked myself out on that ball right there. I did like half a backflip and then fell on my chin. Got a moose cut on my chin. I think I was lying there for like 5 minutes and then woke up with these people standing around me. And they're like, are you like okay, dude? I'm like, I'm fine, man. I'm fine. Then I think you should go like just, you know, you're bleeding quite a lot from your chin. So I'm like, check my chin. I'm like, oh, yeah, I am. So you train more at like a little medical, you know, area there. I don't know. So I went there and the guy's like, okay, where do you stay? I had no idea. I didn't know what my name was. Totally had like this little semi-concussion. Jeez. And then, drank a Disprin, got a plaster and just went back and skated.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah,
it's not like you can phone anyone to like come pick me up. I've hurt myself. You just got to wait until the arranged prearranged time.
That skate park was like about 3 km from my house, so we used to skate there. So if you after like a whole day of skating, you skate back, but you're so tired. You like walk skates. You know when you like walk skates. Like, we used to do that a lot.
Just spent.
Yeah. spent, done.
And tell me, dude, what was the relationship with the guys at Boogaloo's? Because it felt like you kind of were sponsored by them or something, or what was the...
It was kind of like a sort of sponsor. I could skate at the park for free. That was cool.
Okay.
Best. And they'd give you like products at discount. So it wasn't like a full-on sponsor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you must have been one of the first sponsored skaters then, because no one else had any sort of, you know, hookup from anyone other than Money Brent. That's when we all started getting stuff. But before that, okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't like, I got to skate at the park for free. They gave you a cool Boogaloo's t-shirt, you know, woo. And you'd get discounts on wheels and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Kind of that was nice at that time. Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, you're a lighter. Your wheels are expensive, you know.
Mm. It's better than a kick in the nuts.
Yeah. I remember that. They had Hyper Wheels, which was more slack.
Hyper Fat
that
Boys.
That was the thing. Hyper Fat Boys.
Fat Boys, Giants.
Those were
sick. Midgets.
Mm. Midgets, yeah. Yeah, they were laying cool wheels. And they had cool graphics on as well.
Mm. Those and Cosmo wheels were the ultimate.
Cosmo or the ultimate. Cosmo.
You had some Cosmos, Herman. Or I always remember you having Cosmos, actually.
Those were the best, though. Those were really my go-to wheel.
Mm.
So sick.
Yeah. That on the right, that photo on the right, is actually Daryl Harding. Remember that guy?
I remember the name.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
That American
the guy that came with Arlo and them to the Nationals?
Yes. That dude.
With the rollerball ad.
Yes. Yeah.
Was he in it?
Yes.
Okay. He was in it.
He was the dude grinding the rail with the rollerballs.
Right.
Yeah.
Where is he now?
Where is he railing now?
I mean, that's quite a contraption, that rail that's been built over there.
Yeah, there's what you're talking about, Herman, sticking all the rails together.
Setup. Yeah. Oh. So dodgy. Because they were just stuck together. They weren't like welded or anything.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
Like mid grind, there was nothing. The rail
wasn't this rail away. The rail that was welded onto the box of the Nationals box.
Yeah.
This first kink. I remember that kink. It was ruthless.
Yeah, it was so not a good
thing. Basically, just flew off it and landed at the bottom, basically. You never grind
on your ribs. So many ribs that rail's taken.
So more than your bra.
More than your bra.
Just snatching up souls.
Seen more ribs than Herman's grill.
This picture on the left was from a magazine, right? Which magazine?
Yeah, it's from Daily Bread, actually.
Oh, so from that year when they came to the Nationals in 95.
Yeah. So I think they came to Boogaloo's one day. Arlo and Jess and Rene. Rene didn't even skate. He wasn't even impressed.
He was like, this shit is too small.
Well, you want me to like jump over this with my feet? I don't know what you might do with this, you know.
I think Jess was such a good photographer.
Yeah, he was.
Jess was a dang photographer and really nice shots.
So I was pretty stoked to be in Daily Bread. We all wanted to be in Daily Bread, you know.
Very stoked. I remember we saw this and we were all like, this is dope.
Yeah, we were like, South Africa's on the map, yes.
Yeah. Oh, the graffiti.
That's Kyle on me as well, huh?
Yeah, that was the 8-foot ramp that used to be attached to the 11-foot. That
from Look Ahead. You can almost still see the Look Ahead behind it there. In between the rust, you can see a little bit of a...
Yeah. So that was a cool ramp, eh?
Very cool. It's quite a sick invert there.
Oh, thanks, man. So you see, we upgraded to the Majestic 12s.
Oh, yes. Oh, we loved those skates when we got them. They were so much better than what we'd had before that, basically. Or
such an improvement. Yeah.
Because
The frames I remember from the streets were much higher, you know, and this was the skate that they made. They made it kind of like, because they're most accommodated for 80 mil wheels. I think these, the biggest wheel you could put on was like 56.
Yeah, the Senate lowriders.
Yeah, the lowriders.
Came with the lowriders, remember?
Yeah.
That was lower center of gravity was way better.
Yeah. Oh, the crane. Crane arms.
Yo, those are some long arms, bro. Long arms?
They long. Long arm.
You are sucking nicely crane. Here.
Caca! So that was the 11 foot that was attached to the 8 foot.
Yes.
Yeah. And Brent really made that ramp nice. Eh?
Oh, yeah.
It was,
cleaned it up.
It was terrible.
I think they cut it down a little bit.
I think they did actually, yeah. Yeah, it was much higher.
And used to have that extension on the one end, the 13 foot.
Yeah.
I remember it still had an extension, but only a small piece that rent. And then eventually he took it away.
Cut that off.
Eventually got rid of it.
Yeah.
And was this also in a magazine?
No. That was random photos we took. Oh, then the 976. That was a sticker I put on there. Don't know why to do that.
No, it looks rad. Yeah.
You got that was like a magazine.
No, that was in America actually when I was there.
The one in the middle as well.
The one in the middle and the one on the right.
Coffee?
Ah,
thank you.
Thank you. So tell us about that trip, Herman. Tell us about that trip. When did you go to the States?
I went when I was 19 or 20. Because Dave Kolash, he came down to South Africa. And then he was like, yeah, if you're ever in Florida, because we always just travel to Florida from Africa all the time, just pop by.
Just swing by. You can stay at me.
Just swing by. So, yeah, I think at that time I finished school and decided, just going to go and check it out. So I went and stayed with Dave for, I think it was like 6 or 8 months.
Oh, damn.
Skated in, six months. Yeah, I stayed with Dave and met other skaters in America and stuff. That picture on the right is also a local park near where Dave stays. And it had that curb thing you check there. The one day I remember, and I was telling John about, he was saying these are some unseen stuff, but there's some stuff that's never been seen and you'll never see it again. I did an alley-oop sole down that curb and there was no one around. And I could never do it again.
No evidence.
I was no evidence. You could tell me I'm lying right now. And I was like looking around. I was like, damn it. And I could never do the trick ever again.
Where's my props?
Yeah,
that's sick.
Yeah, so I skated there in Florida, because he lived in where is it, Orange County, somewhere in Florida. Yeah, we just skated and had fun as kids, really. Entered a NIST competition and came 16th.
Nice.
Which was last.
Pretty good. Well, yes. That happened to me at Kailami. Also came dead last in beginners. So.
Dead last. Yeah. But it was fun. Yeah, I had lots of fun in the States.
I didn't realize you were over there for that long, dude. So 6 months.
I was there for quite a while.
That must have been rad.
Yeah, because Dave obviously had connections with, he would go to little local competitions. We went to Alabama. I mean, went all around Florida for these small little competitions, all leading up to like the NIST competition, which is cool. It was a cool experience, like just to be in that circuit, you know.
Yeah. Met
Tyler Shields and skated with him, and a whole bunch of other dudes. Maxi Broom, I don't know if you remember that guy.
Mm.
It was huge at the time. Yeah. I mean, the NIST competitions were fucking televised in the US.
Yeah, they were huge.
So that was really cool.
Yeah. Was very different to what we saw on TV, really. Because, you know, we see the rail and we see the box and you're like, yeah. And then you see it in real life and it's actually just as dodgy as what Crash Army was. Like a stick together ramp. You check this rail's a bit wobbly. You're like, whoa, dude. Like,
scary. How the hell?
And then you check all these pros and they're like bombing all these tricks on this rail. And you're like, whoa, okay, maybe not. I'll just try a Royale. I'm not going to go and like try top acid because that would be a moose thing, you know.
And death defying.
Yeah. That photo of the car was also in America. There was this dude. He was like a very southern type person, if you will. Redneck.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell by the car. And he told me, grind my car, dude. Just grind my car. And I was like, nah, bro. He's like, nah, bro, fucking, I want you to grind my car. And he was so stoked when I did a back rail in his bonnet. He was like, I'm never washing my car again. Because he thought I was like some pro from South Africa, but I wasn't. I was just hanging out with Dave. And then eventually the owner of the park came to me and he was like, just tone it down, dude. You can't like be grinding people's cars. Take it into the park. But yeah, my first car grind.
Sick, dude. And what's this top Mistral on the right over here?
Top Missy. I think that was
Styles.
That was with Alon, I think. Me and him, me, him and Cliff. I think John as well. We went, had these little sessions where we would go and skate around schools.
I think that's a school in like Bryanston or something. So I remember hitting the trail, and it was quite hectic. It was quite steep, and
it was steep.
There's clips of maybe you doing it, I can't remember. But yeah, it was that area.
The grass was very forgiving.
Yeah, but the landing was kind of rough tarmac. Like if you made it to the bottom and then fell, it was pretty. And as John said, it was quite steep. So it was a scary one. That's very nice.
It was a scary one.
Yeah.
So I try to keep it chronological, but I wasn't 100% sure when all of these things happened. I try to gauge it almost by the skates. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can see what skates you're in and then like, okay, that was before.
Okay.
The crane enters. The crane. Enter the crane.
It's the Kung Lao.
The Kung Lao is, that is cool. That was in Cape Town, I think, for the first Alex, or one of the Alex Grohl's, I think.
Oh, sick.
Mm. Yeah. So actually that's in African Link, that comp, remember?
Yes. Yes, 2000 or 2001, like, was it Century City?
Century City, yeah. That was then. So and the other one on the left,
Retango.
The other one on the left was in Denmark.
Oh, nice!
You went to visit Tom Alquist there for some time.
Tom and Rene.
Also around that time, early 2000, 2001.
I think so. Yeah, because I remember Rene. How did I even? I think it was Red Bull. No, it couldn't have been.
Before Red Bull.
Before Red Bull, yeah. Because then, that was a funny thing. I skated in a competition there. And everyone was Danish. So the commentator, Danish, and I didn't understand a thing. And it was the coolest competition because you could drink beer. Like that was.
Yes.
I think the competition was like sponsored by Carlsberg. So not like Capri Sun or anything. It's like full on Carlsberg. So.
Who needs a Red Bull when you got
it? So after your run, they're like, here's like a cold one for you. And it was like a skated in the competition. And then me and Tom Alquist were sitting on the side and we were smoking a joint. And all I heard was like Danish and then Herman Potgieter. And I was like, oh no, are they busting us for smoking or what's happening? And then the dude's like, no, come here, bro, come here. It's like, what? I'm sorry. Just, you know, South Africans. We just, I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry.
Jammer.
I guess jammer. Moet my nie slaanie. And then, I think I came fifth in like the amateur vert skating competition, which I was like, what? Okay. Gave me some cash. And yeah, that was cool.
So, probably jumping around a little bit again, but obviously here you're already sponsored by Rosie's.
Yes.
And how did that come about? How did you meet Mel and Brent? How did they approach you to say we want you to ride for Rosie's? How did that all come about?
I think it was probably skating at Kyalami. Those competitions for the first time. Mm.
So they didn't sponsor you after the nationals. It wasn't like because you won, you were sponsored. You got to go overseas.
Well,
you went to Switzerland because of that.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. I think they did like a little semi sort of sponsor for me and Toby because Toby won the street.
Yeah.
And I won the vert. And the prize for that was to go to Lausanne, Switzerland to go skate in the world champs over there. So they paid for our trip there. And yeah, I think it started from around about that time, the sponsors. And then, yeah, later on, you got you guys on. And I remember Frank and Garrett was also in Switzerland at the time. You guys also came through.
Yeah, that was in 98, I think. So way after the Nationals. One year we both went to Switzerland. That was pretty sick.
Yeah, it was cool because then you like saw all the pro skate, all the people we looked up to were all there. John Julio, TJ Weber, Josh Petty, Arlo, Rene,
crazy,
Tom Fry. I skated actually in my category in vert was Eito Yasutoko. He won the vert because we skated the amateur vert. He won. He was 8 years old. No. I was 16.
What?
Crazy.
He was eight, dude. I remember checking this little kid, but I'm like, this kid ain't got nothing. He's got these glasses on and stuff. And then he drops in and he's like, boof. You're like, oh no, I haven't even got my knee pads on. This guy's doing like fucking California rolls. What's going on here?
Wait, was Eito the older brother and then Takeshi was the younger brother?
Takeshi was younger, yeah.
The younger brother one, Takeshi. Eito was the older one.
Dude, Takeshi was an absolute killer. He was so small, but just went huge. He went huge on those
rounds. He had so much power. Like, he was such a small little person.
Yeah.
You know?
Incredible skaters.
Yeah. Skated there with... with Manuel Baleras, that was also cool.
Whoa.
To check them. And yeah, it was quite a big eye-opener for, you know, having so many pros in one spot and you in Switzerland and we're from like Boogaloo's and now there's all these people.
Dude, such an inspiration. Oxford, so
I actually have a shirt. I can grab it. It's got all the signatures on.
You've still got it.
Yeah, wait, let me see if I can find it quick. Hold on.
This interlude brought to you by Lino's Skate Shop, Cape Town. Got
sponsors.
Yeah. I got it.
Quick commercial break. Make sure to get all your gear from Lino's Skate Shop.
So this was the...
Oh, shit, I remember that shirt.
Hold it up close. Yes.
Sick. And on the back of the shirt.
Yes, dude. I remember that shirt. Wow.
I think there's Arlo, Brian Powell,
Furman.
Randy Spicer.
Damn.
Was all in, yeah.
That's Viking, wild that you still have that, dude. It's going on 20 years.
Stessa Mora, Dawn Everett, Scott Crawford.
What year is that, Herms?
Ryan Jacqueline.
Ryan Jacqueline.
What year is it? This was shit, man.
I thought it said on this. Sorry. Yeah.
It was probably 96, 97.
Yeah, that's what I think. Luzon.
It doesn't really say. But yeah, I still got it.
Amazing. Yo, that's cool. Legendary. It's going on 20 years and you still got it there.
Yeah. My girlfriend's like, you must throw that thing away. It's surf. I'm like, no.
Silence.
You don't understand. Oh, I love this photo.
Yeah, dude. That's an amazing photo. And that's your beetle there, I think, in the
that's
background.
That's the Grey Goose.
Grey Goose.
That's how we used to roll, eh? Late afternoon, chilling. Those winter. Were the days. Mm. Yeah, snowboard skating.
What was this air called here that you were doing? Some kind of parallel?
Parallel back grab.
Parallel booty grab.
Not now, babe.
Yeah, not now, babe.
And
I think it's a that grab. I don't know.
Yeah, parallel. Parallel that
parallel, yeah.
Parallel mute, maybe.
But I don't know who took this photo, but they did a bloody good job.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Sun and everything.
Amazing. But
that
shot.
Was such a great time that we had there at Kailami. Yeah. We all just hang out and like skate and talk and.
Yeah.
I remember.
We had such good times.
Such good times. I think we all the people at the bottom there.
Yeah. Really I don't see. Know. No.
Hard but that's say. Definitely the Grey Goose and Brent's van.
Yeah.
Yeah. The racist cool. van, yeah.
And yeah. Chunmi, how did you've obviously all those photos where you're wearing the Red Bull helmet, you're like a Red Bull sponsored rider. So how did that come about and what did they provide for you? Because I know we spoke to Cliff about it a little bit, but no, that was a sponsorship with Rossi's. But yeah, what did Red Bull sort of offer you and what did you have to do in turn for them? And yeah, because you and Cliff were the only rollerbladers sponsored by them.
Yeah.
Officially.
Well, Cliff got sponsored first and then later they approached me after a competition and said, do you also want to be on the team? And I was like, okay, cool. And basically they gave you a shit ton of Red Bull, which is ridiculous amount.
You in Red Bull.
No one's heart should ever have that much Red Bull. Because we were juiced at competitions. I remember we didn't have money for Coke, so we just drank these Red Bulls. Like six
another
of them.
Red Bull.
And you chatting, dude. Every me and Cliff were the chattiest people there. You chatting.
What? Wired.
No, they did give you, they encouraged you to go to competitions. That's why the whole thing Red Bull gives you wings. So they give you, they'll pay for you to fly to wherever you want to go to go and skate in competitions. So I did like one or two of them, went to the UK and where else did I go? I think Denmark again. But yeah, it was cool. And then they'd give you allowance to, you know, for the duration of your stay and stuff. I mean, the higher profile skater you are, I'm sure you get a paycheck and you know get way more if you like.
Yeah,
what's that guy with his motorbike, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and then in return you must just wear the helmet and wear the clothing if you represent their brand. And
yeah,
obviously drink a shitload of Red Bulls. At one point people would give me Red Bulls, I'd pretend to drink it and just like give it to some kid and just see what happens to him. Starts running circles around a tree or something. I remember at the time, I think me and you were staying together, John. No, that was before. This was before. But at one point, me and John had so many Red Bulls in the house, we would we'd literally just give the stuff away, because it's like, if you just smell it, you're like, you're just go and throw it in your Beetle for petrol. Like.
Bro, we should have resold those back to like little corner cafes and that sort of
thing. Didn't we do that?
I feel like
I'm sure we did that. I mean, I'm sure it makes sense. It would be something we would do.
Explicitly part of the contract. Do not sell your Red Bulls.
Yeah, well, no.
Promotional purposes only.
Yeah. Fueled by Red Bull. Oh, that's a fancy grab, eh?
Yo.
Was that a,
that's a parallel.
Extreme. Yeah.
That's about as parallel
as it can get.
Yeah. Lacquer.
Where's your arm, bro? Where's your left arm gone?
It's blue craning at the back.
In your shirt.
It's a tucky innie.
Yo. But I mean, none of us could really skate vert, and you just had this insane skill. I think almost like a natural talent
on it. Yeah,
yeah, there was probably like two or three dudes in the country. It was like super rare to be able to skate vert like the way you could. Like some of us could grind or whatever, but not really. It wasn't vert skating, it was street skating on the vert ramp.
But I mean,
to watch you skate, as you can see, everyone would stop what they're doing and like, holy shit, Herman's on the vert ramp. That's
I think the catalyst was the mini ramp at Boogaloo's and that concrete bowl in Germiston. We would go there. That would be, you know, if we go skating, we'd do that. Because we didn't really have much street skating in Boksburg. As you know, it's pretty flat and not much there. So, yeah, we wouldn't really like... We'd go to Edenvale, though. Edenvale had some cool street spots, but most of the time we would just hit either Germiston Bowl or you know, the mini ramp at Boogaloo's, which I think you learn that sense of how the transitions work and when to pop and off the ramp and just got into it, you know. And also, obviously, like all the one of my favorite skaters was Rene. So,
yeah,
you know, you do what your heroes do. So,
yeah.
Obviously, not you're gonna try and do their tricks and stuff. So,
no Viking flips, but trying to emulate Rene.
No, none of that. Never. You could never touch that.
He was too sick.
And I mean, vert skating was popular in the beginning. It was like equally popular with street. And the skates, I suppose, you could ride a vert ramp with like an all flat setup. Your skates didn't really need to have space for grinding. Like the skates were easily adaptable to the vert ramp more so than street probably at the time. Street like developed a little bit later, and then everyone started skating street. But
I know it probably is easier with a flat setup, but I skated street and vert, so my setups were always... I mean, still, I can't skate flat. I've got an anti-rocker system, and that's just not a roll. Vert or street, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Because, I mean, with a flat setup, you can turn on a dial, which if I try that now, it doesn't really work for me because it's too turny. I'm used to an anti-rocker system.
Oh, for sure. And you don't want to try to do like a Fafnuggen or a front torque or something like that with a flat setup. It's like you're much more likely to get wheel bites and eat
that's,
shit.
That's what I saw in the beginning stages with vert skating, with vert skaters trying to do street tricks on the ramp, especially with grinding. You can kind of like... into it.
Yeah, fake it. Yeah.
You're not really putting pressure. You're just kind of like you're footing there and you're kind of just gliding along. Where we were like, we want to like grind that thing, you know, and just someone just jumps straight off the coping into the flat off the ramp, you know, why not?
I want to feel that grind.
Yeah. Sun City.
Sun City and doing huge shows.
That was a cool show. Remember, John, you also did that gap. I remember.
I did not unscathed. I mean, I told the story already, but yeah, I dig that photo of you going over there, and it was a massive gap, bro. Like,
it was huge.
Huge.
But also, I think the reason me and you did that gap is because there were these two hot girlies sitting under an umbrella just where we landed. So it was very impressive, you know. Like,
let me wreck myself smile in front of you.
Yeah.
Help. A for effort, bro. A for effort. That's for sure.
I also remember we all got these cards to our rooms, which we could like charge. Like bar tabs at the bar.
It was like
living La Vida Loca. Like, that was really cool.
Rock stars.
I think that was the first show as well where Frank's, what was your buddy's name? Andre and Christian started breakdancing on the top of the fun box. And then we started like airing and flipping and spinning over them. And I think that was like the first start of like those shows that we used to do, like train. You remember, like
storm.
I remember that one show with Brenton Bell with the Hunters Extreme. Remember that?
Yeah, that was wild.
We were like in this like Coliseum sort of thing in the dark, and we practice for them. There was that guy with his belt, remember? Steve. His belt said Steve. We were like, who's this guy? He was like the director or something of the whole thing. And then at the time of the show, they just pumped all the smoke and we couldn't see anything. And they were like, swarm. And yeah, all of us dropping. We can't see fuck all. Yeah, it was chaos.
Yeah, we definitely didn't get along with the sort of corporate side of those sort of events. I don't think they liked us. We didn't like them, but they put up with us.
At the end of the couple of Hunters Extremes, everyone got along very well.
Dude, the Lurie. Remember the Lurie?
Some corporate chick in a corporate dress was breakdancing on the fun box and then slippy slide herself off the fun box onto the floor, like exposing. Yeah. And there was just chaos. And like, I remember me and John walking with like four crates of Hunter's Gold back to the hotel room.
Yeah. And through the casino. Opened, I remember.
Through the casino. The security guard's like, what are you doing? No, it's display. We're just taking it back to the display room. Yeah, like, whatever.
Dude, that shit was crazy. It was always like energy drink or something. I mean, and then energy drink mixed with alcohol. Bad. And then because we were a part of it, we drink
and us
or eat way more. Remember those chocolate? Those energy chocolates, they were blue inside.
Fast forward.
And everyone had like a blue mouth.
Yeah.
And as you say, super chatty. Everyone's like, dude.
Buzzing.
Why would they do that to us? Give them sugar.
Yeah. Yes, more energy.
Go faster.
A lot of good sponsors there.
Yeah, the best was hanging out with the Oaks there, like on the right.
For sure.
Skating with the Oaks in town and just like...
I remember that's close to Ellis Park,
like, you can't just go and skate in town. You're going to get like robbed or, you know, but we never got robbed or anything because people are just like, I'm not going to come close to these guys. They're trying to kill themselves.
It's so crazy.
Shana. Go there. Yeah, fun times.
This bottom picture, that's like the Rancho or something.
Rancho?
Yeah, that's the Rancho. I think I was setting up to grind the top of that thing there.
We'll ride to Topsail maybe on the coping.
I was trying to get right to the top. Like, trying to stall. Yeah, Topsail stall.
On huge. The top. Yeah, no, that thing is like 7-8 feet tall, that wall on the
I think I got it once. Those are what skates are those? Are those gray razors? Those are cool skates. They were super comfy.
Aren't they Shimas or something? No. No.
I think they were the Shimas, but they were super comfy. I remember well, when
they were the Dre Powells. No, not
Dre Powell. Yeah.
Hmm. Huh?
Yeah, they were lacquer. That was my first brand new pair of razors. I was super stoked with them. Where's that? The so hand me downs. And you get fresh ones. It's like, oof. Cushiony. And they're, I don't know what it is with razor, but they got that like, they just like feel like it sucks into your foot, you know? Like these ones picture are on the... cool, but these are very heavy. They're cock heavy, but you can.
Oh,
you
they're can solid grind. Gold.
I love gold.
But that picture on the right, I actually should have added them. It's a series of photos from that day taken by Sebastian from Fishbrain. And there's that one of us around that statue as well. And if you remember that photo, I should have added. I didn't think of it at the time. But anyway, it's all from that same day. And there's some great photos that he took. Yeah, we'll try to credit the photographers as we go for documenting all these amazing.
Yeah, shout out to Sebastian. He was a good photographer and used to run the Fishbrain forum. Obviously, that was a great way before social media.
And it was also it wasn't digital, so it's like if you take the photo, it's a one time. You know, you don't know what you're gonna get. Like, it's not like now where you can go back and check on preview. Preview. Mm. There's no preview. Mm. It's like, just go for it. Very cool.
Got a really nice shot there. Some Cape Town sessions.
Yeah, this was in Paul, I think.
No, this is in...
Belleville somewhere.
Belleville.
Yeah.
That was not a cool at this time. We did have the street comp. And this was one of the spots, I think 2002, we did the Keep It Roll Street Comp. But this was obviously a different time. And did Eric take these photos? Yeah. There's Eric. Yeah. Shout out to Eric.
Yeah.
We would go skate this spot quite often, actually. Because in this little area, there's like two or three rails. There's another one where at a shopping mall somewhere. It's like a red rail. I think I sent you a photo of that too. Yeah, that was a cool because it's kind of industrial, so everything's closed, so you can skate and no one's going to bother you because, you know, obviously we get chased away from a lot of spots. So this was a spot you could skate all day and not worry about getting chased away or anything.
Awesome.
It's a really cool spot. And there's a nice rail.
Yeah, very nice.
It's not too high and it's got a nice drop.
Yeah. What year did you move down to Cape Town, Herm?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. How did that come about? Why did you move? Because you moved from Boksburg to Joburg, and then you and I had that spot in Rosebank.
Yeah.
Then we were in Orange Grove together as well. And then from Orange Grove, you moved. And I think it was for studying, right, initially?
Yeah. I was studying animation. I think it was 2004. When did we stay in that? In Orange Grove,
2002.
Yeah, 2002.
Yeah, I think 2003. Yeah, that's right. 2003-2004. Moved down there for studying, and just ended up liking Cape Town, so I just decided to stay. You know, hanged out with the crew down here, Steve and Zane, all these cats down here. They're like a you know. Energy for skating, and Steve used to, his mom had this old combi, almost like Brent combi, that we just used to drive around to Stellenbosch and everywhere on a Saturday and just go skate everywhere and like have a braai afterwards. And yeah, good times.
And I remember end of 2003 we stayed at your place on Kloofneck there.
It was
end of 2003, 2004. It was around there. And yes, you had all of us packed into that little house around you.
Yeah, that was quite a digs.
The digs.
We had a lot of people there. I remember actually waking up one morning from a party which we had at that house. And I walked downstairs to the kitchen. There's some random like sleeping on the couch by the front door. And I was like, who the hell is this at, dude? Must be one of the friends of one of the other dudes. It happened to be a homeless act that just happened to walk into the house and decided he was going to doss on the couch. So I made him a...
I'm also missioning with him.
Yeah. No, because we were like five... There were like five rooms with five different people with five different sets of friends. So you never really know.
Yeah.
And people used to come in and out of there all the time. So you don't know who's who. So this, I just decided, well, I'm tired. I'm going to go sleep on the couch. So I made him a coffee and tell him to go. Yeah. The 89, you remember?
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. Daily Bread.
Six shots here.
Yeah, you got a proper feature here.
Yeah, double spread nogal, eh? Yeah.
Centerfold.
Put that above the toilet.
Yeah, so these are crew ties. Cool.
Must have been 2001.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Silver crew ties, and then the Century City on the left.
Century City, and then that was Randburg. Close to Randburg. Mm. Yeah, that was close to the bus stop rail, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty close to there.
Photography by Keith Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, Angie Six was shots. Him and Angie were down. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we went missioning to get some shots of you, and it was, as you can see on the right here, it was like the sun had just set, so it was just about dark, and then Herman laced the six soul grind on, and this rail was high to get onto. It was not an easy rail, so dope shot there.
Yeah, that was a cool one, really cool. Yeah, I remember Angie told me and Cliff, because we also went to Pretoria to the university where we used to skate. I'm sure Frank will remember that. What was the meter rail? It was like a meter high, but it was moose along. Yeah. But there was also another rail that... Cool, thanks. There was another rail that was super steep and super high, like full-on gangster rail. And Angie was like, if any one of you do this rail... I'll put you on the cover of Daily Bread. You are solid, like, no, it's cool. you got Cliff, you got this. Cliff went up and Cliff's like, yeah. And he went up and he checked it out. He's like, hell no, bro. Put me in the middle somewhere. It's fine.
on the cover of Daily Bread, in memoriam.
Yeah. Death by cover.
But we ended up skating that rail regardless.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah. I was in Century City.
Century City. Alex Cup.
Yeah. Also, Eric took these photos, I think.
No, this must be Sebastian with the fish brain branding. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a lacquer rail to skate.
Oh, yeah.
Dodge.
Not easy.
Yeah. No, this park was nice. The setup.
Compared was real nice. To the Kailami rail.
Yeah. Much. Kailami rail was quite deadly.
Yeah.
When it was in its longer phase. Yeah. But that was also a lot of fun when this park was here. We also skated there a lot. Like, I skated a lot here with Rainier Miller. Remember him?
Shout out Rainier.
And Myron. Skated a lot here with Myron as well. Just make missions and go and skate. And, yeah. Just fun. Fun park.
That was a nice park to skate, yeah.
It was a nice fun box, actually, with that hip and everything. Had a nice flow like, to it. You don't end up in a corner. You can always go somewhere, which was cool.
Mm.
I mean, I remember, like, in the beginning stage of Kailami, you'd end up in a corner. And then it's just, until Brent pumped it out and you can just hoy. So I think the nice thing about a skate park is it's got a good flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brent skate parks always had super good flow.
Bex,
this was at Randy's show.
That's right, Rancho.
Yeah,
I remember that.
It's quite amazing that the president came to watch the show. I mean, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
that was
why well, he was only he was president for 5 days. It was.
I don't remember.
Because they didn't know that at the point they didn't know. I think so. No. He was the president. It was another dude.
No.
But I remember there was like his security outfit, like just behind all these people. And I think Cliff was like, dude, do the bunny ears. Do the bunny ears for the president. See, that's why I'm standing behind him. And I had my bunny. I was going to do it. Dude. And I had my bunny ears and I was just about to pop them, like, you know, like behind the president's head. And I looked around and these acts, these fucking men in black guys with the like, nah, dude. Nah.
Secret Service was like,
no, you don't do that. Then I was like, okay, cool. I'll just chill.
Okay, he's actually cool. Got his hand on Frank's shoulder.
He does.
It's very intimate.
Got blessed by the president.
A little squeeze. A little Frank's looking squeeze.
Up. I'm going to be somebody one day.
The president Brad is about to sneeze. Me.
Yeah. That was cool.
That was crazy.
But I really wanted a Jimmy. Bunny ear, but I also didn't want to die.
Bunny ears. Off to Dubai.
Yo.
Bye, boys.
This was also chaos.
That was fun, though. Yeah.
That was chaos. I think we were at the back of the plane, as you can see, right at the back. And me and John would distract the air hostess or someone, or it was me, and someone distracted the air hostess while the other person snuck a bottle of vodka out of their little stash at the back there, because right at the back is where the fridge is. So we got so wasted on that flight to Dubai. Remember? No.
I remember feeling bad for the normal passengers just traveling.
It was
stuck
so
with
bad.
This group of 20 of us, like
so loud.
Yeah, no one was sleeping. No one was chilling, watching movies. It was like, yeah, drink as much as possible. And
me and Will Twala got like escorted after we landed. Yeah, they were like, no,
they flagged you guys. I remember.
Yeah, but Will did have dreadlocks and everything, so they were like, yeah, you know? They're like, no, we don't. So empty your pockets. And I emptied my pockets and I had a lighter in my pocket. And the guy's like, oh, really? So what do you use this for? It's like, no, I burnt my shoelaces. They were too long, so I just burnt my shoelaces. This guy didn't have it, so he started searching our bags. Then he took us all the way to the back and he went full on, like, searched all our bags.
Wow.
Took me and Will into a little room and he did the whole
no ways.
Yeah.
You got the strip search.
Was in my box, in my boxes, and he just with a little nutsack.
Oh, how's like, your father?
Is this your job, dude? Oh my god, this is the worst job.
Is this
I
your
feel
job?
Sorry for you. So then I had these muff ass peekaboo. Any drugs? So I'm standing there and he takes my shoe. I had this muff ass like skater shoe. You know, I dank our shoes were like not cool, dude. And in the bottom of my shoe was this black layer of like sweat and dirt and they stank, dude. They were like mank shoes.
From skating and just putting your shoe on straight away.
So after this dude did the all, you know, he scraped with his nail the inside of the bottom of my shoe because he probably thought it looked like hash or something.
Yeah.
But he scraped it like this. And at the point I like looked at him and he like looked at me. And he was down, he's bent down, and his head was like close to my crotch area. and he had my shoe with this mank on his finger, and he just done this. And I was like, yo, bro, I feel sorry for you. And he like looked up and he was like, I could see in his face, it was like, I hate my life. And then he let me go.
The sadness in his eyes.
The sadness. It's like, oh my God, I hate my life. I just want to go home. What's the time?
Deep sadness.
Yeah, and that was a good trip all in all.
Oh man.
Skating. We did skating shows for Mountain Dew at the time, I remember.
You guys Brent did more than one of these trips, eh?
We did two. We did one in 2006 and then one in 2007. It was like a lead up to the X Games that was happening there. So we just go around to random spots. Like this was at a university. We'd take the small little ramp and then Brent would set it up in places and we'd do like little shows, and because they've never seen anything like this. Like they were like full on, what the hell are these people doing with their skateboards and rollerblades? And BMX, there was BMXs as well, and break dancers. So it was a lead up to where Brent had built this whole park actually. And you know, I skated there and never got to skate in the X Games thing. We were just like the side hustle basically.
But we made so much noise. The X Games.
Yeah, we made so much noise because we had what's the DJ guy?
Switch.
Ready D?
Switch. He came with us. So we'd make like noise and, you know, skate, and there'd be dudes like flying over B-boys and, you know, swarm. So it was very entertaining to watch rather than watch some skateboarder doing a lame-ass run with a moose park where you don't even know. You just hear this music, so everyone would just be drawn to where we were. Where as some of the other skaters who were in the X Games, they came and skated on our park because our park was cooler than their park, because it was just like this lame ass flat setup, you know?
Yeah.
We got to meet Angie and Takeshi was there, I think.
So yeah, Eita and Takeshi, I think.
Eita and Takeshi.
Fabiola, obviously, we saw the photos from some of that in the previous episodes. And I think these photos here, because, yes, they were so rad. I haven't seen a lot of these. They're not online or anything. But I think Tyron Bradley took all these
photos. I got a lot of these photos. I got a lot of cool ones of Steve Krich, actually.
Mm.
Yeah,
you guys also fought for Stereotype in Dubai, didn't you?
Yeah, it was for Monsters. Stereotype had come out 2005.
Monsters,
And then these trips were the following 2 years, and then Monsters in the Dark came out 2008, I think.
Right.
Yeah. And I did a separate edit, I don't know, just Dubai, where I put all the footage from this trip.
I remember that.
And there's some sick stunts in there.
Chris and Steve going buck wild.
Remember that did a big rail.
That massive big king thing. Rail. Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, you dominated on this little mini ramp as well. It was about an 8 foot, I think. Huh?
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
It was a ramp, eh?
And red.
Wasn't it the same size as the quarters at Kailami? Similar.
Something I think the like the transition was like bigger. Like this would almost lead up to like a vert transition, you know. Whereas the ones at Kailami was a 5 foot transition. I think this is an 8 foot. I mean, you can see on the ramp it hasn't even gone like vert yet. You can still But it was nice because you can get a nice pop off it.
It was big enough for you to unleash your dew, eh?
Unleash beast from the east.
Oh, nice. Doubles.
Tag
doubles, eh? Doubling up.
Yeah, I dig that photo, eh? That'll be a good memory for the rest of time for me, Holmes. Shot for that one. So sick to share that time with you.
Yeah, that was cool though. That's really cool.
We had a little routine worked out, I think, even like
yeah. fakie to fakie.
Yeah,
540. Then a
stalls,
like a stall, and then a hand plant, and yeah.
But you had some rad ones. So they're coming up with Putty and with Will Swallow. There's a sick photo. You had some nice over and unders with Putty.
Over and unders, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, they were pretty nervous about that. They were like, I don't know, bro. But Will, there's my partner in crime.
So sick.
Yeah. That's rad.
He's also
from Boxburg.
Yeah.
From my hood.
Okay.
So I would skate with him, actually. This is the dude that when I was rollerblading, he would skateboard. And both really? In the same area.
Yeah. He must have been a lighty then, though.
Isn't he
a few years younger than us?
Mm-hmm. Also thought so,
I think, yeah, he's, how old was he? Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway. He's probably like 40, I don't know, 30 in his late 30s now. Not even, I don't know. Black don't cry.
Sick shot on the palm tree here. Who took this picture? Tyrone.
I think this is all Tyrone Bradley, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They had the whole fisheye. Nice fisheye vibes there.
Very cool.
Dope.
Yeah, there's a cool little spot to skate. It had all these little, I mean, you can't really see the wedge there, but
all those banks.
Like a little bank.
Oh, there's a bank up to the tree. Ah, nice.
Yeah. You can't really see it now because it's, but they went everywhere around.
It's but actually, there was footage of this in Monsters, eh?
And on John's edit.
Okay, yeah, we'll, it's definitely on there.
Probably we'll the only section ever of myself. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. It was hot. That place is hot.
It must have been so hot there.
I mean, we were dying. I remember when we would rock up and do the shows, the ramps were made of metal. So it's like, and they're black. So,
yeah. Oh. Melting.
We'll
what time?
Smelting.
Yeah, was it summer up there? Like, can you remember what time of year you guys went there?
I don't even think it was summer. Yeah, I don't
I think it was winter.
Even summer.
Mm. But I don't think they have. They didn't have. It's just hot. It's
all summer.
Yeah, just scorching all the time. I remember it was the first time we had aircon constantly blowing in your hotel room, and your sinuses would get so like clogged. I don't know if you remember that, John.
Mm.
I remember this.
This was outside that club. And this is probably about 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. Like we did a demo and then went into then we went in and enjoyed the rest of our evening.
They
I remember being dead tired from this, bro. I think we'd been traveling the whole day. We had already done other shows and then like to do a show at 10 at night. And it's not like an easy show. These, as you can see, over under is like proper skating.
Yeah.
But obviously,
and I remember just also
to Herman to handle the business.
I remember also because of the heat, it was so hot, and at night, like it's kind of like the Mountain Dew sets for reals. So the ramp was like kind of slippery. It had a bit of like water to it, so it was kind of hard to skate because it's like it's a bit wet, but we managed. Sure. Then we went into the club, and there was the weirdest thing. They had like these like Asian chicks like dancing, and it was just a weird karaoke, and they were karaokeing, and it was very strange.
Behind closed doors there, you could consume.
You can drink. Okay.
Mm.
I don't think it was a Filipino club. So it was kind of like.
Yeah, it was like separate. Expats and stuff. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So not halal there. Strange.
No. No, definitely not.
No, but these are great photos. You're so well done.
Really cool.
Nice one, Tyrone.
So sick.
Laka. Oh. That was the first skate park in Stellenbosch.
Chris's barn.
Chris's
barn. It was called The Shed, wasn't it?
The Shed.
The Shed, yeah.
Mm.
I remember how this started, actually. I got a buddy of mine built a mini ramp, a bowl. The bowl's still there. So they used the bowl at Waterfront, built the bowl, and then they were like, they wanted to break it down, so they just parked it in a parking lot in the somewhere in the Waterfront. And then people would go skate like these parts of this bowl and then hurt themselves. So they were like, no, we need to get this thing off the property because we don't want like lawsuits or whatever, because people hurting themselves with this like debris of ramps lying around the parking lot. So they got hold of the guy who built the bowl. And I happened to know him, speak to him the one day, and he was like, do you want a bowl? Like, remember that bowl? Do you want it? I'm sure. Like, yeah, sure. So cool. If you can go pick it up, you know, you can have it. So I was like, well, I don't really know how to do that. I don't have like, you know, I'm just gonna carry it down the road or what. So then I told Chris about this bowl, and then he got his church involved, and they went and they picked it up, and then they put it in this warehouse, and then they just started building all these other ramps and stuff. So this is how this thing came about. All these,
yeah, dude.
The bowl's still Chris there today.
Mm.
Okay.
He shared that story.
So cool.
Yeah. So I felt like I had a bit of a part in like starting up a skate park.
Nice. Yeah.
I always tune Chris when I go check him. I'm like, how's my bowl doing there, bro?
Yeah. Still keeping it for me.
Yeah.
Keeping it fresh.
Yeah, his park's looking sick now. I think he's finished the bowl. I think he's finished it now. Frank, have you seen?
I think he has, yeah. Chris doesn't play around. He like, when he does it proper.
You know, I actually drove past this rail the other day on the right. It's in Stellenbosch.
Where is that? Oh, Stellies.
Stellenbosch by the fruit and veg.
Yeah, that one must be fast.
It's fast, yeah.
Yeah, or flat on top. Fast.
And both photos from Eric, I think, huh?
Eric,
yeah.
Yeah.
Rocking the roll one still.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's... I've still got one of that print shirt.
But by this time, you've already moved to Cape Town. You've been there for a while, or?
Yeah. I've been there for quite a while.
Yeah, this must also be 2007, 8, around there.
Yeah.
Just after, yes.
Yeah, we would. This is all around about the same time, except for the one on the right. That was
where is that?
That the one
that's
the
more
right.
Recent. Yeah.
That's Chris's new park, yeah.
New park, okay.
That's in Somerset West.
Somerset West.
Stellenbosch. Okay. Yeah. Very nice.
Yes. Eric's photos are always so good.
Yeah.
Kills it.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the best photographers in South Africa for extreme sports.
For sure.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who took the photo on the right. I'm not sure. It wasn't a really good trick anyway. You know, it looks like a failed Macchio attempt. No, this is this is the late days. This is me just trying to fucking stay on my feet here.
There's the gold members.
There it is.
Gold members.
City of gold.
Yeah, that's Cape Town.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure, bro?
Yep, that's Strand Street at the back.
Oh, yep. Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
Looked very Joburg-y.
That was me and Myron went for a little sesh one day. It's really cool.
Sick.
Rad photos.
Who took these pictures?
That was Myron.
Cool.
Shout outs to Myron.
Yeah. It was basically just me and him. We just went on a little solo. I should have put some pics of him in as well. I'll send some to you, the other pics.
He can have his turn another time. Yeah.
But yeah, it was just a cool little marble curb you know, and just go and skate it. And
this spot looks there, like
yeah, cool, cool lack of curb.
Yeah,
it reminds me of that curb we used to skate in. That's probably what you were thinking of, John.
Yeah, that black it looks curb. Like Joburg.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I thought. Skate. Mm.
Just up just close to Standard Bank, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that was
like, that's it for the pictures.
Yeah, that's it for the pictures. Yeah, but I mean, I feel like it didn't really capture your full history and the.
No, we'll have to get you back on. Yeah, I'm sure we've got more. We've got so many.
There is a lot more, and I mean, you've come up in all of the ones we've already done, but hopefully, it just adds another piece to the puzzle that we're putting together. You know what I mean?
I must say, because I was always skating, so I was always skating or taking the photos. I don't think there would be a lot of footage or pics of me. Those are all the pics I could find, really, of myself. Yeah. You know,
I'm sure other people also have photos of you, because I remember when the Kyalami comps went on over the years, we took a lot of pictures there. And we took pictures of everyone, not just of ourselves, you know. So we have pictures of you and of Cliff and of John and of Byron and Matt and everyone.
Yeah.
So I'm sure more pictures will come around, you know.
And I think
we'll see.
No, we'll see.
We'll see. There must be some mystery shots out there, you know. But yeah, like me and John used to just have behind the camera with African Link, you know. We did film ourselves and stuff, but it was more about filming, you know, like someone else's tricks. And
yeah,
Cliff was a big feature there. I mean, he's the ultimate entertainer, and what can we say?
So, can I ask you one more question? Do you know how many national comps you won?
Sure.
How many comps did you win? You must have
bring
won
out the medals, bro.
I have one of them. I have one of your medals. That's cold.
Yeah, I've given them away. When they come to my house, gets a complimental. Complimentary medal.
Complimental
part, you can have a medal.
Yeah. Here's an LG one from the
silver medal bri for today.
Dude, I would say you probably won everything from 95 until the end, really. Until the competition stopped. There was no one I mean you were consistently in the top five. For 20 years, you know what I mean?
I would say around there,
because I mean, you had to enter, you didn't really have a choice, beyond a certain point of sponsorship and stuff. So you were at everyone,
but also you want to skate, you know, you want to have that drive. So,
yeah,
it's not like you feel like, oh, I've got to skate, like you know, you kind of want to, you get. Yeah. Amped up by other people skating and you know, you check people doing tricks. And I mean, one of the coolest tricks I've seen is you doing an alley fish brain down the bus stop. That's like mind blowing,
yeah, dude.
It's like one of my favorite tricks. And shocked, and B as well did a swell down that rail, you know. And I've seen Frank bio off a ramp in Germany, and everyone was like, what the fuck do you use this guy? And so we've all done stuff that is like, you know, I wouldn't do what you do. I wouldn't do Ali Fishbrain down the bus stop rail. It's no way.
Everyone had their things they were comfortable with. But I think what separated you a little bit more so in the competition is you handled the pressure really well. And you thought about your run, you practiced your lines, you were consistent, and you wanted to win. Like, I think, I think, like, I'll just speak for myself. Like, I think I probably got a bit too nervous and caught up in the whole thing of having to perform at the certain exact time. and enjoyed the whole event more, but I didn't actually enjoy my run and having to compete. Like, I didn't really enjoy that. Whereas you, I don't know if you enjoyed it, well, you can tell me, but you definitely excelled at it and thrived under that pressure and in that, in that setting. You sort of shined, you know, you always pulled through. You never fumbled the ball in those moments, you know?
Yeah. I think also it all depends if you land your first trick or not, you know? Like, if you miss your first trick, the rest of your runs, you know, then you pick up stompies. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as soon as you always start with a banger, and if you hit the banger, then it's like
it's on.
Get that energy and then you just go, you know?
Yeah.
But it's also a very weird format of I think the formats of competitions have changed. That whole run thing, it's more like a dance, you know? Now it's more like
a little bit. Yeah, you know, more session.
More session. And not so much one oak, you know, just having the park all to himself. And it's more like who can stand out from the crowd, you know, who can use that to look for, you know? And, I think back then, like you said, everyone wants to win. I mean, some couple of extra bucks in your pocket, you know?
And the glory. I don't remember anyone being on the podium as much as you and Cliff. And like, for me, you guys were always the favorites. Like every competition was like bound to be a close battle between you and Cliff. The consistency and the amplitude of the tricks and the line choices and just not falling and doing some really big stunts. So
On the vert, it was always against you and Schmidt.
Okay.
You're being summoned. Thank you guys so much. Thanks for your time, Herman. That was great to catch up with you, bro.
Guys.
Finally had you on here. And we're going to get you on for the Stereotype Watch Party, okay? You got to join
that
us
should,
for that.
That should be good.
Okay, nice. We'll have some drinks and we'll catch up together. Thanks, Herman.
Thanks for the chat, guys.
Appreciate you.
Cheers, brother. Guys. Cheers.
Bye.